This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The discount rate just went up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. After the markets closed yesterday, the Federal Reserve Bank surprised investors and cut the discount rate. That's the rate the Fed charges banks for emergency loans. It's going up, and 0.5% to 0.75%. What does it mean? We're going to talk to Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us now from our studio in New York. Morning, Jeremy.
Hi, Steve.
What's the impact of all this?
Well, maybe they won't be able to call it the discount rate anymore.
Yeah.
No, the impact is largely psychological because banks haven't been going to the Fed for emergency cash all that much recently anyway. They did during the financial crisis when banks were hesitant to lend to one another. But these days, they can get cash when they need it from each other. So the rate for raising the rate for emergency loans is really being interpreted as more symbolic.
Is this being seen, Jeremy, as a sign that the Fed is ready to start, I don't know, tightening lending in general to keep inflation in check?
Well, the Fed is saying that no, that's not the case. They stress this is not the beginning of a broad hike in interest rates that will impact consumers and businesses' ability to get credit. But listen to what Dan Cook has to say. He's the senior market analyst at IG Markets.
Anytime anybody hears interest rate hike, the market's going to, you know, perk up their ears and say, wait a minute, whoa, what's this? While this particular action isn't their monetary tightening necessarily, the market's still probably going to interpret it as the first step towards tightening.
And Steve, you can already see that happening in the currency markets right now. The British pound, for example, stands at a 9-month low against the dollar this morning.
All right. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson at our studio in New York. Jeremy, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
The Fed move has also pushed markets lower. European shares are down right now, under 0.5%. Stocks tanked in Asia today, 2% or more. Wall Street yesterday, another day of gains. But again, that was before that Fed move. The Dow was up 83 points yesterday at 10,392. Lowe's is partnering with one of the world's best cardiac hospitals. The home improvement chain is offering discount heart surgery to its employees, which leads to this question. Can bulk purchasing really work for specialized health care? From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner reports.
According to the deal announced this week, if you're a Lowe's employee anywhere in the country and you need a bypass or a heart valve replacement, you can now get your surgery at the Cleveland Clinic. Lowe's bargained with Cleveland Clinic, much like they do with suppliers of wood chips or paint. In this case, Lowe's said, we'll let you treat our patients.
And you'll give us a discount.
Martin Gaynor at Carnegie Mellon University says more deals like this could drive down prices at lots of hospitals.
All those hospitals now don't just have to compete with other hospitals that they previously networked. They have to compete with the Cleveland Clinic.
Bob Erie is in charge of benefit plans at Lowe's. He says the company self-insures about 100,000 employees and their dependents. Sending them to the Cleveland Clinic not only cost less, he expects the doctors to do less. Cleveland Clinic puts doctors on salary instead of paying them per procedure, so doctors don't have the same incentives to rush to the operating table.
If they were to decide that surgery was not what they would do, then they will recommend that back to the patient.
If the Cleveland experiment works, he says, the company might try to negotiate with other hospitals for back pain, a frequent complaint by Lowe's employees. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term goals at Vanguard.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services.
The U.S. Senate comes back next week, and at the top of the agenda is a jobs bill. Democrats are behind a $15 billion plan of mostly business tax credits. It's a mere fraction of another pricier measure that had bipartisan support. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is with us this morning to look ahead at what the jobs bill will and won't do. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So this sounds familiar to me. Didn't we try something like this like in the late 70s?
Yes, in the Carter administration. And economists are still debating how much it really had an effect. The consensus is that about two-thirds of the employers who took advantage of the tax credit then probably would have hired people in any event. So critics call it a waste of taxpayer money, while supporters say, hey, one out of three new jobs was pretty good.
But even if it works as hoped, I mean, $15 billion, is it going to buy that many jobs?
No. The Congressional Budget Office estimates 180,000 jobs at most. Now, Steve, compare that to the over 8 million jobs lost since the end of 2007, and it's pretty pathetic. Mm. The president's more ambitious jobs tax credit would cost $33 billion, but create something in the order of 750,000 to a million new jobs.
So why then, Bob, are the Senate Democrats aiming so low?
Oh, it's just politics. They want to be seen as doing something to create jobs, but they're afraid to be seen as doing too much and causing the deficit to grow. You know, all of this is being played out in light of the big stimulus enacted last year. Most independent economists think it saved or created more than a million jobs, but most Americans don't believe it. All they remember is the White House predicting the stimulus would prevent the jobless rate from rising much beyond 8%. And, of course, it's now at 9.7%. And even the White House is now predicting 9.2% next year. So there's just a lot of skepticism out there.
So where do we go then from here? What's next?
Well, probably nowhere. If you're talking about the Senate is in complete gridlock. I'm not even betting on another extension of unemployment benefits. Now that no one trusts Congress, Steve, our economic fate really is almost entirely in the hands of a small group of unelected officials called the Fed. And when it comes to jobs, it's going to be up to Ben Bernanke and company to decide how long to continue to stimulate the economy with cheap money.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, Forbes.com has come up with its latest list of the 20 most miserable cities. It takes into account unemployment, crime, foreclosures, taxes, inflation, all the miserable stuff. Detroit, check. Gary, Indiana, check. St. Louis, Kansas City. Memphis, Tennessee. Stockton, California. Number one miserable city in the United States? Cleveland. Maybe they can get the Cavaliers' LeBron James to work on that. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, which didn't, by the way, make the list this year. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.